Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
Church, for anybody who's strange here, I guarantee you're not stranger than the people who are already here. And we're glad that you're here. Hello?
I can't hear what you're saying, Isaiah, but I'm glad that you're here. And what we like to say, everybody's welcome, and that's true. And we get tested on that. Every once in a while, we get some really, really weird folks in here. And you know what? They're welcome here, too. You know what I'm saying? Why am I looking at you, Rebecca? Is that what you want to know? Oh, you didn't know I was looking at you? But look, while you're here, take advantage of this time. Take advantage of the opportunity to take your mind and put it on God. God is good. He's worthy of our praise. His name is above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, and it's our high privilege to be able to say here and now, Jesus is my Lord, Jesus is my Savior, and I'm going to give Him the praises due His name. So whatever you got cooking in the crock pot, let it cook by itself. It'll be all right. This world will keep turning. The economy will keep doing whatever it's doing, up, down, or bad. Wars will keep happening. People will keep doing whatever they're doing. Take this time and put your mind on God for right now. Amen? Can we do it? Will you do it? Amen. I can't hear you. Yes. I just always wanted to do that. You know, that's pretty good. All right, they're going to lead us. They're not performing for you. This isn't our jukebox. These are the people who are going to help us lead and worship God. Okay? They're leading us in worship of God. So put your mind on God, not on them, not on us. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this opportunity. We love you, Lord. And we ask that you would move us, that you would grow us through the work of your Holy Spirit, through your word, through the praises, and Father, just for your glory. We love you, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
For me. And
that every time we sing that song, it says, I can sing of your love forever.
I always want to say, well, go ahead. You know, go ahead.
You know, we ought to have in our mind that God has given us life, and he's given us eternal life through Christ. Y'all, we're going to end here. Last 2 weeks, I've done two funerals, and it's just on my mind that in this life, we're limited. But Jesus said, I'm the shepherd and the overseer of your souls, which means even though you're going to die, and they're going to put you in the ground, and very likely I might say words over your box. But you know what? In Christ, that's not the end of you. Yeah, that's not the end of you. You can sing of his love forever. God's not limited, and he brings his loved ones to be with him where he is. Don't forget about the goodness of God and the power of God. He doesn't have to put up with the limits we got. In Sunday school, we looked at Psalm 113 this morning, and it focused on the name of God. And it said that, O servants of the Lord, praise his name, and let his name be blessed from this time to forevermore. And it said, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord shall be praised. So if you come here and you don't do anything else but just say, you know what, I'm going to praise God's name, you've accomplished something, because God's he's worthy to be praised. You know, if there's nothing else you get besides saying, you know what, let me think twice about how I think about God, how I think about the Lord, how I think about Jesus and his name and who he is. One day, every knee will what? And every tongue will what?
Amen.
That Jesus Christ is what?
Lord,
to the glory of who? God the Father. It's going to happen. It's going to happen, Captain. You know, so we can get on with it. And that's all right, and we ought to. Amen? Amen? Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Nani's class. If you're in Nani's class, ready, break. Go see Miss Debbie's leading Nani's class. If that's you, you go ahead. I don't see the mass exodus that usually happens. I do see a couple colorful Easter eggs bouncing around back there heading that way. Y'all, we have youngins in our church. We ought to always praise God for our youngins. We ought to always praise God for our kids. They make messes and they don't pay any bills, but they are blessings from God. Not every church has people who make messes. Not everybody has colorful Easter egg children bouncing around going to Nani's class or a Nani or any of those things. Or they're all Nannies and no babies. And y'all know what I'm saying. You've walked into those churches that are truncated, that don't reflect a real family with grandmas, grandpas, moms, dads, children's brothers, and all those things. And we ought to never take that for granted at Christ Community Church. More than that, we ought to always pursue it. We ought to always be pursuing whole families. And when we pursue them, we want to tell them about Jesus. And then we tell them about Jesus and we teach them about His Word. We're going to bring them on to lessons like what we have today in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that speaks about marriage. And I can tell you, I've looked forward to this whole section through 1 Corinthians that deals with sexual immorality. I've looked forward to it kind of in the same way you might look forward to root canal work or something like that. And I think I'd rather have sandpaper put on my feet. But that's okay. We're preaching through the book. And that's one of the reasons why I preach through the book of the Bible. Because there's places I probably would skip my entire preaching career if it just wasn't the Lord bringing us there. And this is one of those places. And it's one of these places where I think people have skipped for a long time. Pastors have skipped for a long time. Preachers and churches have skipped for a long time because some of it's embarrassing to talk about in mixed company. Some of it brings up shameful memories for people where they don't feel like they've done right. Some of it's been used by churches and church leaders to beat people down and make them feel less than worthless. And y'all, I can tell you this, God isn't here to destroy us. He's here to build us up, right? Now, He tells us the truth about who we are. He tells us that we're sinners and need a Savior. But I'm going to tell you something. He don't ask us to come and just, He don't ask us, the church, to go whooping people with guilt and shame. He's plenty able to get us where He needs us to go through the power of the Holy Spirit. He convicts people of sin because they don't believe in Him. He convicts them of righteousness. He convicts them of judgment. That's what the Holy Spirit does. But I'm going to lay this word out. Thing, and I think I'm gonna need. I think I might need new batteries or something. No, it's just going in and out. It's because of my pocket. My pocket's doing it. Okay. I'm gonna put this somewhere. Thank you all for coming, and I'll see you next week. No, I'm just gonna. Sometimes you just gotta know when to quit. You gotta know when to hold them. Know when to fold. When to run. This thing's still not where I'm gonna set it here, and I'm just gonna hold it like it's my baby. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Can I tell you this is the antidote? I'm gonna do this one because I'm go ahead, bring it. Yeah, thank you. Just I'll be simulcast in stereo. I want that one. I don't want this one. This is Dustin. Yeah, he's going to bring it back. Jamie wants it. Take that one back to Jamie. This one.
Thanks. We really know what we're doing here. It's highly orchestrated. We rehearsed thoroughly for this very service. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Okay, Bobby, you can open up there. I want you to put your faith on. Put your faith on. I believe, by and large, we're a people, a culture, and a time where we lost the faith in God working in real ways. We believe God in a lot of ways, like we believe, raise your hand if you believe God spoke the universe into existence. I mean, the Bible starts, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Raise your hand up if you believe that when the children of Israel were pinned between the Red Sea and the Egyptian army, that God in His power parted the Red Sea that they might walk over on dry land. Tell me if you believe this. Tell me if you believe that when there was a wayward prophet who decided to say no to God, and instead of going to Tarshish, he went down into a boat in Joppa, and he headed to the other side of the world. Instead of going rather to Nineveh, he went to Tarshish, the other side of the world, and God brought up a fish and swallowed that man whole, preserved him somehow or another in his belly, and spat him up on the land. Do y'all believe God did that? I believe it. Do you believe that there was a virgin girl named Mary who had never had any relations with a man whatsoever? She was engaged to a man, and she ends up pregnant and says, "It wasn't me." Do you believe that? I believe it. Do you believe that God, the very real, very true God, was that baby born of a virgin, grew up, lived a perfect, sinless life, died on the cross for the sins of all mankind, that he is the Lamb of God, and his death, his blood is sufficient to take away the sins of the world? Do you believe that? Do you believe that further, that he was buried, put into a tomb, and on the third day, he did what nobody else does. He rose again from the dead. He's alive forevermore. Do you believe that? Do you believe that 40 days after that resurrection, that he ascended from earth up to heaven, where he now sits at the right hand of God? Do you believe that? Do you believe in a place called heaven? A place where the streets are paved with gold, where the Son of God is preparing a place for those who believe in him, so that where he is, we may be also? Do you believe that if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will be resurrected one day and join him in heaven? You believe all those things? Do you believe, furthermore, he's returning? It's not the end of the story. You know, the resurrection, the ascension, all that, it's not the end of the story. Jesus Christ himself, he's not delegating it to anybody else. Not the greatest and strongest and mightiest of angels are coming back for the people of God. Jesus himself is returning. Y'all believe that? So those are pretty mighty things, aren't they? So do you believe he can work in your marriage and make it wonderful? You know what I find with most people? They're kind of like, wait a minute. I mean, those things, sure, the Bible talks about those. But to make a fulfilling marriage, to make it the wonderful thing God intended for it to be in the beginning, man, I've seen too much. I mean, I can believe in seas parting and streets of gold. That's all great. But real live marriage, fulfillment and success, something that would keep me satisfied and keep me like hungering for more and what? Come on, man. Now you're talking fairy tales. You know, people are like that. I believe that God created the heaven and earth, but a real life marriage, that works? Come on, dude. Come on. Come on. Now you're meddling. Now you're talking about stuff that might apply to me. And I don't want to go there. I remember one time, every time Randy's here, I can't help it, there Jerry Clower, a story comes to my mind. And all of a sudden, Jerry Clower's talking, and these two young guys, I can't remember what their name is, but they're talking to each other, and they said, "Aren't we best friends?" I said, "Yeah, you know we're best friends." He said, "We would share everything." He said, "Yes, sir, you know we would share everything." He said, "If you had $2 million, would you give me a million?" He said, "You know I would. You know I would. We are best friends in the world. You know if I had $2 million, I would give you $1 million. Yes." He said, "Well, if you had two apple pies, would you give me one?" He goes, "Hey, fair, you know I got two apple pies. How come you going on that now? Wait a minute. It just got real." I mean, we're ready to believe things that don't involve us being part of it. We're ready to believe things that aren't practical, everyday stuff, as if God only does these really big things out there somewhere and that God doesn't work right here where we are. But can I tell you something? God works right here where we are. And I'm going to read this passage of Scripture. I'm going to read the whole chapter. And I'm going to tell you something. It's counseling. My pastor at
one I still just call my pastor, Ray Shelton from Friendship Baptist Church. He used to say, don't miss out on church. Don't miss out on the reading of the word and church service on Sunday, because it's counseling. And there might be some people, not Mike, there are people who need some counseling. Let the word of God be your counselor this morning. And put your faith on and believe in a God who really can work. The same God who can speak the stars into existence, who can raise the dead from the tomb, he can fix things in your life, I promise. He can do those things. Here it is, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But I say this as a concession, not as a commandment, for I wish that all men were even as myself. But each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe, and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he's willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise your children will be unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. Brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freed man. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in the state in which he was called. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord, yet I have judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy. I suppose, therefore, that it is good because of the present distress that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if the virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, and I would spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. So that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they have had none, or they had none. Those who weep, as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice, as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy, as though they did not possess. And those who use this world as not misusing it. For the form of this world is passing away, but I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distractions. But if any man thinks his behavior, or he is behaving improperly toward his virgin, if she is past the flower of youth, and thus it must be, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin. Let them marry. Nevertheless, he who stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will, and has it so determined in his heart that he will keep his virgin, he does well. So then, he who gives her in marriage does well, but he who does not give her in marriage does better. A wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives, and if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she remains as she is, according to my judgment, and I think I also have the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. If it wasn't for your word, we would never hear this. I wouldn't say it. And Father, I don't often hear it said by other people. So thank you for telling us the things that others don't. Help us to grow from it. Help us to prosper in it. Help us to have fulfilling lives that are first and foremost dedicated to you, whether we're married or unmarried. And help us, Father, to see in you the all-sufficient Savior that we need every day. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. At this point, I really would like to just step away and say, you've heard the word, now apply it to your life, and we're going to go on. But God has pointed out a couple things that I think we need to hear, and a couple things that are probably hard to hear, okay? And I don't really have it very organized. I'm not going to say it's going to be short, but this is, I'm going to let her rip, tater chip, okay? So y'all just, blessings. In the church, we've gotten this wrong. Even in our church, a lot of times I talk about the church, and I mean every other church but ours, because they are all cranky and we're cool. But even in our church, we get this wrong. Even in our church, there's sometimes a sense of judgment of doing good, right, or wrong in marriage, and that ought not be. We don't have it as much as I see in other churches, but I've seen people really degraded by messing up their marriages. I've seen people humiliated. I've seen people segregated and isolated based on how they performed in their marriage. And I'm just telling you, I believe, and just from reading the scripture, from being married, from being from a family that has generational divorce in it, that it's ridiculous to judge people according to how well they do or don't do in their marriages, okay? Part of the reason why it's ridiculous is because we don't teach it really well. For generations, Christians have been teaching on marriage in a really pathetic way because we're afraid and ashamed to speak of things that might be considered immodest or improper and from the pulpit. Like today, we're going to talk about some things. And y'all, for shame to talk about what the Bible says, we might want to reconsider the book we use and maybe get a friendlier version. Maybe dial it down or dumb it down or maybe just, I don't know, talk about Dr. Seuss. I am what I am, Sam that I am, and just sing a song and go on our way. But if we're going to use the Bible, we ought to use the Bible. And the Bible says some things about marriage that aren't going to be, that we don't hear, but we ought to hear. But I'm telling you, if you don't preach it, if we don't teach it, how can we judge people for not living up to it? How can we shame somebody for not living up to a standard that we're afraid to communicate? It just ain't right. And so we're going to communicate some of it now. All right? First thing is, in this church, the church of 1 Corinthians, the Corinthian church, marriage was seen on a very practical level in this chapter. He says, because there is a crisis, an epidemic of sexual immorality, it'd be better for y'all, each one, to take a spouse, women to take a husband, and men to take a wife. It'd be better to do that than to be drowning and burning in sexual immorality. Can I tell you, we live in a society and we teach this really overly romantic, crazy view of marriage where butterflies and hearts come out and surround us like it's a filter on Snapchat or something, you know, and it's like a fairy tale land, like, oh, we got married because we love one another unconditionally. I don't have to do anything and he loves me and he hasn't done nothing. Well, that's not true. He has to do something because otherwise I won't love him. What the reality is, marriage is not an unconditional arrangement. We think marriage is an unconditional thing where we just love each other. We just love each other. That's not biblical. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her. Let the wife render to the husband the affection due him. That's a condition. That's a condition that we often don't talk about. The affection, I'm not going to use the different words for it, but you understand probably what I'm saying. And affection comes in a lot of different ways. But I'm going to tell you, people, God made us to need affection. And can I tell you, in the church, one of the worst disorders we got is affection deficit disorder, where husbands and wives are at a deficit for the affection that they need. God did not make us to be monks. You want to know why there's not a lot of monasteries? Because they're stupid. Want to know why people aren't running out to take vows of celibacy? Because God didn't make us that way. Now, there are people with certain gifts. He even says, there's, and Paul was one of them. Our Lord Jesus was one of them. Some of the people we respect most were that way, but can I tell you, they're a rare breed. And if you're married, you ain't called to celibacy. If you're married as a man, and the affection that your wife requires involves holding hands in public, opening doors, hugging, scratching her back or rubbing her feet, and it doesn't always end in the kind of affection that you would like it to be, you still need to render on her the affection due her. You do that. Because God has called us to be together on the same team. That'd be another thing that happens in our marriages. We're like not on the same team. If you're on the same team, you want to help your teammate to succeed. You want to be there to help them to grow and to flourish. And if they need this from you, give it to them. You're on their team. Wives, I can't even speak on this so clearly as I would like to speak. But I will say this. It says, do not deprive one another except for mutual consent. Last time I heard the word mutual means where you both agree. And it says for a time of fasting and prayer. You know what I figured out? That'd be the best way to, like, you know, that'd be the more, women be like, instead of saying I got a headache, she'd be like, I got to fast and pray. I've got to fast and pray. There'd be more fasting and praying going on. But I'm going to tell you something. If that'd be the case, I'd be the fastest faster you've ever seen. Can I tell you something? A headache is not an excuse. Tired or moody, it's not right. It says, wife, yourself belongs to your man, and husband, yourself belongs to your wife. That's what it says. That's very practical. It's not very romantical. I don't feel like it. Be like, so what? You ain't got to.
That's actually not a requirement. I'm reading the Bible. It's actually not even in there. I don't know if I love you. I don't require that you do. You'd be amazed. The book of Proverbs describes human sexuality different according to gender. I wasn't going to bring this up, but God might. It says that a man is like a spring, like a fountain, like an artesian spring. You know, it's kind of always, it's bubbling. It's there. It's ready. And a woman is like a well. Think about something that needs to be primed. And there's not just immediate source. It requires work. Sorry about going into all this, but can I tell you something? For too long, people in church ain't talked about this, and you know where you get. So where do you go? If you don't talk about this in church, you sure can find it on the internet in porn. You sure can find it talked about in every classroom, including the sanctified holy classrooms of Kirk Academy. You can find it everywhere where they're talking about these things. Why haven't we spoke about this? Why haven't we told husbands and wives you're on the same team and you need to help each other? You need to make sure your spouse does not leave the house with ADD. Don't let them be vulnerable. Now, I will tell you this. No amount of attention deficit or disorder justifies sexual immorality, being an adulterer, having an affair, doing these things. It does not in any way justify those things. But I'm going to tell you something. When you look at it, you can start putting some pieces together and you can solve the crime kind of like an investigative detective might and say, oh, these people are very, very vulnerable to anyone who might speak a little shine to them, who might touch them. Just even innocently so, are vulnerable. Do you not think that the enemy knows how vulnerable the church is because of the mistakes we've made about marriage? Even in this passage, listen. Do not deprive one another, except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I wouldn't dare say that to y'all because I think you would get offended. So I love the Bible because God just said that to y'all. If you get offended, you are offended at him. But he says, you all ain't got it. You can't keep it in your britches. You all are weak. You all will look for any flattery or any sign and you'll go off course. And Satan, the adversary, he knows that. It's so easy. The bait is so easy. So, what do? You find somebody who you can treat exceptionally. You find someone who you can bring into your life at the most intimate levels. You hold on to that someone like your life depends on it, and you share everything with them, and you help them in every endeavor, in every form of their nature that you need to. You give yourself to their benefit, and you stop making excuses. Sex in marriage is holy. Celibacy in marriage is unholy. Period. And I know there's some people who have abused things. Shame on them. And they'll get theirs for those who have abused. This in no way entitles men to abuse women. Not in any way, shape, form. It is talking about the realities of marriage. And it says, and we haven't said for a long time or too long, that it needs to be going on. You need to be active in your marriage, supporting each other's needs for affection in whatever ways that might come, whatever ways that happens, whatever ways that shows up. You need to support one another. You need to be on the same team. And if you're not, you're going to get chewed up. It's hard to stay in a marriage. That's the next point in his thing, is don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up. He says, don't get divorced. Wife, don't leave your husband. Husband, don't leave your wife. And I'm sitting there going, in that church in Corinth, there's probably a lot of people on their second or third marriage. There's probably a lot of people who've left their wives, left their husbands, and came back. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, Kind of sounds like Christ Community Church too, doesn't it? God ain't here to beat us up about that, y'all. God wants us to get it right where we are. God wants us to get it right where we are. Don't give up on God doing something in your marriage that you can't see anybody else doing. You know what's wild? You get into marriage and all of a sudden you think you know that other person better than they know themselves. And you're like, I just know he won't change. I know she don't care. I know this and I know that. But can I tell you something? Humble yourself to the fact that God knows your spouse better than you know your spouse. Humble yourself to the fact and reality that people can change as God changes people. Humble yourself to realize there is a hope and that God can give you hope in this scenario. And don't give up. The only mention of children, and I'm going to mention this, and I know I'm ready for the boos and hisses and the letters and stuff. P.O. Box 1021, Grenada, Mississippi, 38901 is where the hate mail goes. And then we take it, and before we open it, we throw it in the garbage. And one time that children are mentioned in this passage on marriage, which is kind of wild because in our culture, especially around here, you almost don't talk about marriage without children. It's talked about in this idea of divorce, and essentially it says, don't divorce. Hang on, even if you just got to do it for the kids. And I know that's not the best of reasons, but that's essentially what it's saying here. It's saying, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. In other words, it impacts your children. And of course, everybody knows when marriage is bust up, it impacts your children, right? It's unavoidable. It happens. Like I said, my grandparents, at that level, they divorced. My mom and dad were never married, but then my mom did get married to another guy who became my stepdad and a very integral part of my life, and then they got divorced. And you just watch it happen, and you watch things go on. But can I tell you this? Children are not to be the key to your marriage. There's 40 verses. And I hear this all the time. And I'm not going to apologize, but I may duck. I hear people say, my children are my life. Well, that's great, but if that's true, you've got an unhappy spouse. And I know that we get, and I'm talking to those who are married. If your children are your life, you've missed what biblical marriage is supposed to be about, the love affair that's supposed to exist between husband and wife. You just missed. That don't mean that it's going to end in divorce. It probably just means it's going to continue with a fizzle. It's just going to rock and roll on until eventually you both die. And somebody's probably going to pick up and say, you know what, we're going to do all this stuff. We're going to make our whole life around our kids. We're going to do this, we're going to do that. And I'm going to tell you it's a mistake, biblically. Fall in love with your spouse again. Raise your children together. Do those things. It's good. It's great. But he didn't call us to be focused in on them like what I see happen in our world today. And I believe it's a large part of why marriages and a lot of times ain't worth a whole lot of nothing. You want to know why I think, you know, marriage is starting to go by the way of the dodo anyway. A lot of people aren't doing it. They're just living together. Or they're choosing alternative lifestyles, or they're doing all this stuff. And why do you reckon it is? Because it just don't look that appealing. I was talking to a fat friend of mine, and I can say that because I'm still a fat friend of his. And he said, I'm going to take up jogging, which, you know, kind of was a laugh. He said, as soon as I see the people doing it, smiling while they're doing it. Because you watch people run, they don't look happy. That's a habit I want to take up. And then you see people in their marriage. And how do they look? Joyful, joyful, man. Hey, what's going on? No, that was like the first 5 minutes. After that, real life weighs on you like an anvil on your head. You're like, ah! It's a crushing thing. No wonder people look at it and say, I'd rather be gay. Hey. I'm just telling you. You can show such a pitiful view of marriage that people will start searching for any other alternative, even if it's really dumb. We can do better. places I feel most inadequate is in my home as a husband and as a dad and as a pastor. And if I didn't just trust God, I would wonder why in the world he has me doing any of those things. Because I'm ill-equipped. I just got to trust him. And I got to trust that as long as I don't quit, as long as we don't quit, God knows how to make it better. I believe that the God who raises the dead can fix marriages and can fix families. And you know what? You don't have to be married to be whole either. That's another thing that this passage teaches that the church doesn't often teach. You don't have to be married to be whole. We often think that or say that. It seems like that. Like, well, you got to be married. Well, you're not married. We're going to have the married class. You want to be in the married class? Well, you could get married to be in our married class. And, you know, and it's like, you know what? You don't have to be married. Matter of fact, we shy away from this, but this whole passage seems to be like a commercial for the reasons why you shouldn't be married. It's like, you know, if you want to serve the Lord with your whole heart, maybe you ought not be married. You know, if you don't want to have trouble, he literally says, I would like to save you from trouble. Right here, verse 28. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. What's he talking about? Marriage. I would spare you that trouble. But nonetheless, you're probably going to do it anyway, so go ahead, jump in. You haven't sinned, but you haven't done the best you can do. Isn't that weird? Do we hear that perspective in church very often? No, we almost treat like single people like they have an amputation. You know, where's your husband? Like you're missing an arm. Where's your husband?
I don't know. I don't have one. I'm just going to have one. I'd like to do things with my right arm, but I don't have one.
You're not. You don't got to be whole to be married. But if you are married, do it right. I want to say it, do it often, but I'm not going to say that. I'm going to totally refrain from putting that out. But I can tell you this. God wants his church to be happily married for those who are married. And I believe the God who raises the dead can change the hearts of people. And can change, you know, just change the direction of relationships and family. And if you are somebody who it hasn't done right, it hasn't worked out right, and you've given up on, there's a song, I think it's by Casting Crowns, that says, you lost all your faith in love. Lost all your faith in marriage. Lost all your faith in any of these things working. Can I tell you? Don't put your faith back in love. Don't put your faith back in marriage. Don't put your faith back in one another. Put your faith in God and trust him to do something spectacular in your life where nobody else can. Now the invitation is this. Whatever it is, if God has spoken to you, if you feel like, I'm going to tell you, if you've carried guilt from messed up marriage stuff into this place, I invite you to come and drop it off at this place up here and just say, Lord, I want to be done with it. Help me to walk away from here different. If you need a resurrection, a restoration, a redemption in your marriage, the invitation's for you. If you need to put your faith back in God, that he works in practical ways, not just, yeah, I believe in this and I believe in that, but oh, no, not when it impacts me. The invitation's for you. If you're here today and you didn't hear a thing I said because the Holy Spirit was tapping on your heart saying, you don't even belong to me, but I will receive you by faith in Jesus Christ, and you need to get saved, the invitation's for you. Okay? Whatever it is, it's that time. We're going to have a song of invitation. After I pray, this is your time. Use it as God would have you to use it. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to come and speak on your word. Thank you for telling us things maybe that our parents never told us, that our church probably surely never told us, and things that really will help us. So, Father, take it far beyond the sermon. Take it back into your word and help it to go deep into our soul, into our mind, that we might really begin to reflect in our lives, in our hearts, in our faith, in our marriage, in just our regular life, what it means to walk with you and be devoted to you. Thank you for everybody here, whatever state they've come into. Father, and help us to be those who seek you out. We love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
I do want to say this to kind of even things out. It occurred to me while I was sitting here that I used an example of something that I hear people say, and when they say, children are my life, and usually it's women that say that, and I thought that was kind of unfair just to say that they don't have a happy spouse when they say that. So I want to even it out, because I hear a lot of guys talk about how hunting and fishing and sports and shows and computers are their life, and I'd just like to say, if that's true of you, you also have an unhappy spouse. So it's not just the ladies getting slammed. I got a little slamming for us guys too. And whatever you do, wrap yourself up in the Lord and just say, I'm gonna do what He calls me to do in every aspect, including my marriage. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to worship you in tithes and offering. Be pleased. And Lord, thank you for how you save us in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
for anybody who wants to enjoy the church. Otherwise, you're not allowed to enjoy the church. You have to be here miserably. But if you join, then you can enjoy, and we welcome you to do that today at 5:30. The class goes for approximately 2 hours. We will eat pizza in those 2 hours of time. There may be somebody to watch your children. If there's not, we'll put them in a room and lock it. Just for 2 hours. We will give them pizza. Let me know. I know there's a sign-up list, but if you're coming to come, let me know, and I'll see you at 5:30. We have worship. We have Wednesday night service at 6:30 on Wednesday night, and we're talking through the Bible, and it's cool. I'm liking it. I don't know that that's a good gauge on whether it's really good or not, but I'm liking it, and I'd like for y'all to like it with me. And join our like button by coming to church on Wednesday at 6:30. And I don't know if that's how it works, but anyways, we'll go with it. And I can't think of anything else, but I love y'all, and thank you for letting me be your pastor. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Help us, Lord, to love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, however that works, the best we know how. And then help us to love one another, especially those who we're on the same team with, especially those who are exceptional to us. Father, help us to do right by them. We love you, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Ready?